short intervals in the midst of the music. He strode down the street with his mouth full of harmony and his soul full of gratitude. The summer evenings were long. It was not dark yet. Presently, Tom checked his whistle. A stranger was before him, a boy a shade larger than himself. A newcomer of any age or either sex was an impressive curiosity in the poor little shabby village of St. Petersburg. This boy was well-dressed, too. Well-dressed on a weekday. He had shoes on, and it was only Friday. He had a citified air about him that ate into Tom's vitals. The more Tom stared at the splendid marvel, the higher he turned up his nose at his finery, and the shabbier and shabbier his own outfit seemed to grow on him. Neither boy spoke. If one moved, the other moved, but only sideways in a circle. They kept face to face and eye to eye all the time. Finally, Tom said, "I can lick you. I'd like to see you try it." "Well, I can do it." "No, you can't either. Can't." An uncomfortable pause, then Tom said, "What's your name?" "'Tisn't any business of yours, maybe." "Well, I'll make it my business." "Well, why don't you? If you say much, I will." "Much, much, much." "There now," said the boy. "Oh, you think you're mighty smart, don't you? I could lick you with one hand tied behind me if I wanted to." "Well, why don't you do it? You say you can do it." Tom drew a line in the dust with his big toe and said, "I dare you to step over that, and I will lick you till you can't stand up." The new boy stepped over promptly and said, "Now you said you'd do it. Now let's see you do it." "By jingo, for 2 cents I will do it." The new boy took 2 broad coppers out of his pocket and held them out with derision. Tom struck them to the ground. In an instant, both boys were rolling and tumbling in the dirt, gripped together like cats, and for the space of a minute they tugged and tore at each other's hair and clothes, punched and scratched each other's noses, and covered themselves with dust and glory. Presently the confusion took form, and through the fog of battle Tom appeared, seated astride the new boy, and pounding him with his fists. "Holler, 'nough," said he. The boy only struggled to free himself. He was crying, mainly from rage. "Holler, 'nough." And the pounding went on, and at last the stranger got out a smothered, "'Nough." And Tom let him up and said, "Now, that'll learn you. You better look out who you're fooling with next time." Tom got home pretty late that night, and when he climbed cautiously in the window, he uncovered an ambush in the person of his aunt. And when she saw the state his clothes were in, her resolution to turn his Saturday holiday into captivity at hard labor became adamantine in its firmness. Saturday morning was come, and all the summer world was bright and fresh and brimming with life. There was a cheer in every face and a spring in every step. Cardiff Hill beyond the village and above it was green with vegetation, and it lay just far enough away to seem a delectable land, dreamy, reposeful, inviting. Tom appeared on the sidewalk with a bucket of whitewash and a long-handled brush. He surveyed the fence, and all gladness left him, and a deep melancholy settled down upon his spirit. 30 yards of board fence, 9 feet high. Life to him seemed hollow, and existence but a burden. Sighing, he dipped his brush and passed it along the topmost plank, repeated the operation, and compared the insignificant whitewashed streak with the far-reaching continent of unwhitewashed fence, and sat down on a tree box, discouraged. Soon the free boys would come tripping along on all sorts of delicious expeditions, and they would make a world of fun of him for having to work. The very thought of it burnt him like fire. He got out his worldly wealth and examined it. Bits of toys, marbles, and trash. Enough to buy an exchange of work, maybe, but not half enough to buy so much as 30 minutes of pure freedom. So he returned his straitened means to his pocket and gave up the idea of trying to buy the boys. At this dark and hopeless moment, an inspiration burst upon him. Nothing less than a great, magnificent inspiration. He took up his brush and went tranquilly to work.